you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Coming up on the Under Center podcast, the league has put out a mandate on how teams can draft. How's that going to affect the Bears? And of course, we're going to talk about the quarterback competition. That's coming up next.
What it means to me to be a Chicago Bear, it's an easy question. It means everything to me.
It means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense, legends, linebackers.
The history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
The city, just the nostalgia of playing for a storied franchise, the storied franchise of the running back position with guys like Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and being able to follow in those footsteps. So being a Bear means everything.
I mean, what more can you say?
Welcome into the Under Center podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes, and I'm excited to talk with my guys, Cam Ellis and JJ Stankovic, as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. The Under Center podcast is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281. Last week, we did a crossover event with the Sun-Times guys. This week, you just got us. And guess what? That's more than good enough. Here we go. First up, let's talk about remote drafting. I feel like a lot of people like are making more out of this than there is to be made out of it. This is what NFL teams are like. I was looking at NFL Network before we started. They got cameras everywhere. Like they're ready. They're probably more ready for this than anybody.
I have no sympathy for any of these like stories about, you know, like outside of like people not wanting to go into each other's homes. Like the idea that like the technology behind this is too daunting for the people in charge of running a like $8 billion league or whatever it is. It's just so like, this is so dumb. I just think this is so stupid.
So Adam Schefter tweeted on Wednesday, quote, "A concern has emerged in recent days. There are certain coaches and front office staffers reluctant to have their IT employees in their homes for fear of the virus spreading and vice versa. Some IT employees are concerned about going into other homes to equip them for the draft." Schefter also had some other tweets on Wednesday about concerns about IT security and what it sounds like is that coaches and front office types are complaining to Adam Schefter about having to do the draft remotely, to which I say, welcome to everyone else's world, you big babies. Come on. Like the fact that you have GMs and coaches say, oh, we can't do the draft from home. You know, like everyone's life has been upended by this. So get with the program. The fact that like football, this is a rant I've been thinking about all day. Football guys, true football guys, who call themselves football guys, they're the most inflexible people on the planet. If their plan goes somewhat awry at all, everything's ruined. So you can't do the draft in the same room as everyone, but you have to do it over Zoom. Well, we're doing this podcast over Zoom. I realize the stakes are not nearly as high, but everyone is doing stuff over Zoom. Try being a teacher and get back to me if you think it's hard to do something over Zoom. You big babies.
Can I just add to that point, JJ, since we're just going to let it fly on this one? Let me add that nothing like a football coach. They're always talking about toughness. They're always talking about adaptation and toughness and all these things. And you give them just a little bit of adversity. It's like, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. You mean I have to let someone in my house? Yeah, you're going to let them in your house. You're not going to have any contact with them. They're not going to have any contact with you. they're probably going to be wearing gloves. They're going to wipe down everything that they touch. And how do I know this? Because this happened for me. I work at a radio station, and the engineer came to the house and set up the Comrex, and he didn't touch me. He didn't, and when he wore gloves, he had cleaned everything off before he got there. He cleaned everything off when he left, and that was that. And everything worked just fine. It can be done.
So our good friend Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic tweeted a quote from Amy Trask, who you all know on Twitter, former Raiders executive, that I thought really did a good job of putting this stupidity in perspective. So I'm not going to read you the whole quote, but the quote from her says, quote, "I heard these refrains uttered by men as they were standing on the practice field at training camp in the midst of the Napa Valley. This is, you don't understand how hard it is, or no one understands how hard it is. They're wearing clothing that had been provided to them and was washed for them by the team who drove to training camp in cars provided to them and gassed and washed for them by the team and who are paid considerable amounts of money to perform their jobs." So, you know who has it hard right now are not NFL executives and coaches. The people who have it hard right now are doctors, nurses, surgeons, the people in hospitals and healthcare, Amazon delivery workers, Instacart delivery workers, people who work at grocery stores, the people who actually keep our society running, not a football coach who is worried that he can't conduct the NFL draft with his buddies in front of a gigantic draft board in their palatial facility and the free clothes that they were given. Like, give me a break. This is completely ridiculous. This should not be a thing. And NFL coaches and GMs and executives need to stop whining about this.
And also, like, what other choice do they have? You know, like, it's not going to be like in 2 weeks, like, oh, we'll get together and draft. Like, you either figure this out or you auto draft and you don't get the guy you want, because we've all been like what? Why, what good is complaining when there's literally like, this is what you got to do. Like, I don't get what the other option would be.
What is the worst auto draft you've ever had in fantasy sports, Cam?
I don't know. Every single year, I gave up fantasy sports just because I'm so bad at them. I don't even know. I wish I had a good answer for you. Auto drafts like would do better than I would do. So in sort of a perverse way, like I would also sometimes like it because it made it easy for me.
Cool to accidentally draft Chris Carpenter after one of his Tommy John surgeries with one of your top couple picks.
Oh, that's not good at all. That's not good at all. In all seriousness, though, JJ, you did write a great piece on NBCSportsChicago.com about how the Bears have this new gorgeous place that they want to draft in, and they had their draft there, but they have everything that you'd want. And I'm sure that Ryan Pace is like, we did all this stuff like so that we could have it, and now we don't have it.
I mean, it sucks. Don't get me wrong. You know, the fact that on that giant video board in Hales Hall in the draft room, you could have Mark Sadowski say with their sixth round pick, hey, pull up the film of so-and-so. You know, last year it might have been Duke Shelley. Hey, let's just like pull up the film real quick because I think this guy might be available when we pick. Let's all just kind of watch this film and, you know, maybe our area scout's going to go bang the table for him after watching this film. Probably what they did with Tariq Cohen, you know, when Mark Sadowski and those guys were really high on Tariq Cohen. You know, hey, well, let's watch the film and see what he can do. It's going to be harder to not have that easy access to it, right? Now, I'm not trying to diminish the fact that this is going to be harder for NFL teams. The thing that I'm the most curious about, and I kind of wrote this at the end of that piece, Lawrence, was the Bears really like being active in college free agency. I think this is where Ryan Pace's like scouting background really comes out, that they love trying to unearth the next Bryce Callahan or Roy Robertson Harris or Cam Meredith in the college free agent market. And it's not just that the draft is being conducted remotely. It's that you haven't been able to have a lot of the 30 visits, a lot of the pro days where you make connections with these guys and say, hey, you know, you're kind of on the cusp of being drafted, but if you don't get drafted, we'd love to have you in Chicago. And that's how, I mean, the Bears last year had I'm saying this sarcastically, the greatest undrafted free agent class in all of history, which turned out to produce pretty much nothing. But, you know, it was like when they got Emmanuel Hall last year from Missouri, a guy who some people thought could be a second round pick. It was like, well, how did they get Emmanuel Hall? And it was because they built a connection with him prior to the draft, prior to him falling out of the draft. college free agency is going to be a complete crap show this year because there won't be those connections made. It's going to be a lot of kind of blind luck. But, you know, the Bears may really like a guy who doesn't get drafted, but because they weren't able to have a face-to-face visit with him or they weren't able to go to his pro day and form a connection with someone, they may miss out on that guy.
JJ, Ruzny Castillo instead of Yohan Moncada. I just remember that like in the middle of you talking, and I was like, I'm sorry, I have to say this now. But I do remember that happening.
Jeez. Oh, damn. Oh, no.
I'm sorry. It might pan out still. I don't know. Like, I just, it's, you, they're like, there's, you have to do this, and it's, you can only take this one step at a time. Like, trying to worry about, you know, college free agency before you even get through logging on your computer for the draft, I think is so sort of looking at the forest through the trees, because this is so unprecedented regardless, that I think it's sort of both the timeline and what you're going to be doing to adapt the timeline is so unique that it's sort of hard to predict what's going to happen even 2 weeks at a time.
All right, so let's move on to the quarterback competition. And I'm using air quotes with that. You guys had the chance to talk with the Bears Brain Trust. You got to talk with Nick Foles about all of this stuff. Cam, let me start with you. What was the most interesting thing that came out of the press conferences with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and Nick Foles?
I thought just the unabashed openness of how much of a competition it is. And I know JJ probably disagreed with me because JJ sort of thinks it's Nick Foles' job to lose, and maybe that's the case. But I sort of got more of a sense of, at least personally, that it is a competition and that maybe it's his Nick Foles' job to lose, but it still is very much a competition. Like, I do think there's a chance if Mitch comes to camp and just is better than Nick Foles, that's not going to, you know, he's still not going to be the backup. I think he could still win the job. But I do think it's sort of for the first time in the Trubisky era, especially Pace, I think, sort of admitted that, hey, like, he may not be the guy anymore. I mean, granted, he was nicer about it than that, but like it was a stark change in messaging that I thought was pretty interesting to take note of.
I don't disagree with you, Cam, that Mitch can still win the job. I just came away from that. I went into that press conference with sort of the belief that the Bears really, really, really just want Mitch to be the guy. And I think there still is a tinge of that inside House Hall, particularly inside Ryan Pace's office. But I think overall what I came away thinking was, yeah, this is Nick Foles' job to lose, because the things that they were praising Nick Foles for are the deficiencies in Mitch Trubisky's game. And to me, they have all this scar tissue built up with Mitch of watching, for Matt Nagy, 2 years of inconsistency. For Ryan Pace, it's now 3 years. And the fact that that's all been built up, and now you have Nick Foles coming in who has connections with Matt Nagy, has a connection with Bill Lazor, has a connection with John DeFilippo, that counts for a lot. And I think that just the overall perception of Nick Foles counts for a lot here. The perception of Nick Foles is that he's trustworthy. He knows where he's going with the football. He's won the big game. He's done it in the biggest circumstances. He's made the throws in those circumstances when he needs to. The perception of Trubisky is that he hasn't done those things. He doesn't know where to go with the ball. He isn't consistent with what he's doing on the field. You can't trust him to run the offense and know the offense better than the coaching staff. So to me, that just screamed that this is Nick Foles' job. Now, it doesn't mean he's definitely going to win it, but it means that there has to be more to go right for Mitch Trubisky to win this job than Nick Foles. All Nick Foles has to do is just come into camp and be the guy who the Bears think he is, and he's proven to be over the course of his career. Granted, he doesn't have like a ton of starts or anything. And Mitch, for him to erase 3 years of inconsistent to bad tape over a couple of weeks of training camp, especially when it's shortened, to me, that just does not scream this guy's the presumptive starter or even has a significant to slight edge in this competition. To me, the edge is very much in Nick Foles' court.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Fire sprinklers don't work without water. Get your building's fire pump tested ASAP. Go to SprinklerFittersChicago.org or call 708-597-1800. Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281, protecting Chicagoland for over 100 years. I don't want to present this as like the two guys are butting heads, but it felt to me from the combine until the teleconferences last week that we're seeing a clear demarcation line between Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. That Matt Nagy's win now mode, like I've done all I can do with this quarterback and still try to win, I felt like it's been on display over the last couple of months. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would not be shocked if there was some disagreement behind the scenes. I'm not saying that there has been, there definitely is, or anything like that. But I think that, I mean, look, Matt Nagy is one of the most competitive individuals in the city of Chicago, in the area, in the world. And for him to say, I'm okay taking a shot with this guy who hasn't really done it for me, is that doesn't make sense. But Ryan Pace still is the guy who drafted Mitch Trubisky and still has that scouting report of him from 2017 of, hey, this guy's going to be the long-term solution at quarterback for this franchise. Matt Nagy's been through it now for 28 starts of Mitch's career or whatever. Yeah, 28 starts. And I don't think the data is there. Matt Nagy wants to win. And Mitch Trubisky has not given him the best chance to win, especially last year. So you got to go out and get a guy. And Nick Foles is, I think, the perfect fit for what Matt Nagy wants and just the trust factor of that. So if Matt Nagy needs a guy who he trusts he can win with, that's Nick Foles. It's not Mitch Trubisky, but Ryan Pace still may be saying, we got to give Mitch a shot because I still think he can be that guy. I think that is a very plausible scenario here.
That's my thing, too, is that like, so many NFL, when NFL coaches get hired with incumbent quarterbacks, they get sort of that benefit of the doubt. They go, oh, well, they haven't gotten their quarterback yet. Matt Nagy never really got that benefit of the doubt for whatever reason. Like, you look at what's happening in D.C. Like, people aren't, like, you know, Ron Rivera's coming in and he's saying, well, I don't know, maybe, like, Kyle Allen's going to start over Dwayne Haskins. And everyone's like, oh, okay, well, like, he's a new coach. That's his roles and his right. Nagy never did that. And Nagy never – he never had to, but he never either sort of got the opportunity to do either. And so I think it's sort of a part of what you see when coaches change over. It just has taken a while because of, you know, he got Mitch after a half a season or whatever, if that makes it. Like, he never really got his chance to start a clean slate. And I think, you sort of realize you're on the clock as a coach as much as, you know, a quarterback or GM is, and you want to sort of expedite that process.
JJ, you wrote the piece about competition in Mitch. And you went all the way back to North Carolina with Mitch. What things did you learn in putting that piece together and adding it to you covering Mitch for the last three seasons about whether how he's going to respond to having Nick Foles there?
Yeah, Lawrence, I don't know. And I think that was my biggest takeaway is I set out to be like, okay, how did he handle this thing in North Carolina? And then I was like, oh, wait, I wrote about that after he got drafted. I talked to North Carolina's quarterbacks coach who basically told me there was no competition, that North Carolina was going to stick with Marquise Williams, this guy who never made it in the NFL beyond a training camp with the Packers, but did win 11 games at North Carolina, which is a lot of games to win at North Carolina, as Cam, who has a Tar Heel sticker on the back of his car, would know. Fun fact. Did I just sell you out?
Well, I'm a proud UNCW grad, but yes, I have the UNC ties, so yes.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, tangent over on that. I think
that's my car.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Go ahead.
I think that we just don't know how Mitch is going to handle it because he's never been in this situation before. He's never, like, I Notre Dame, I covered a true quarterback competition between Deshaun Kizer and Malik Zaire, which ended in the worst possible way, which is Brian Kelly saying they're both going to play. But that was a true competition. That was mano a mano battle, let's see how these guys handle it type thing. And Mitch has never really had to do that. When he was competing to play at North Carolina, it was similar to him competing to play with the Bears, where there was this guy who they wanted to start, and he was going to start unless he really messed up. And Marquise Williams never really messed up at North Carolina, but Mike Glennon sure did. So how he's going to handle now this true challenge to his job, we don't know. And I do think this is one thing that I wrote, that the Bears do owe it to themselves. And this is where I kind of side a little with Ryan Pace. You owe it to yourselves to give Mitch one last shot. It may not, you may not need to see much beyond a week of practice, if that. But you owe it to yourselves to see if this guy comes in with the, you know, with a fire lit under his ass in the way that we've never seen with Mitch before. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think the Bears need to at least find out. And again, a couple practices, if it's not working, get him out of there. Foles is your guy. But they do need to see if that's going to happen. Because look, the Bears' best case scenario is Mitch hitting the potential we thought he had in 2017. That is the Bears' best case scenario, that Nick Foles never plays it down. But that just is not very realistic, but it's not totally incomprehensible at this point.
No, you kind of put the nail on the head there. I mean, this is like what always happens, right? Like you get one more competition before you find yourself traded to another team and holding a clipboard. So, you know, the fact that it's Nick Foles, I think points to the fact that this is eventually going to be Nick Foles' job. But you give Mitch a shot, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I think everyone's sort of resigned to that notion, as opposed to, you know, even in January or before, you know, middle of last year, people were still, you know, sticking their flag in the ground up. He's the guy. We're not going to, like, you don't let Chase Daniel go and bring in a more capable NFL starter to continue being Chase Daniel. You just know.
Cam, how did the Bears say that they're hoping this competition works?
They're hoping that, you know, they bring out the best in one another and it's a true competition. I think they're just, I think like JJ said, you know that Nick Foles is the ultimate, you know, to use the cliche, he is the ultimate relief pitcher in football. That is his reputation. You know who you have coming in behind you. You know, it's not some guy out of Georgia who's maybe good, but you don't know. You know, it's not some journeyman. It is the premier backup quarterback, the premier relief pitcher in the NFL. You know that your calls, you know that your name is about to get pulled regardless. So I think you hope that it's going to come out and Mitch is going to be super serious and he's going to be throwing ropes and he's going to be, you know, looking people off, passes everywhere left and right. But you don't really know until you get out there. I think it's sort of you position them in the best possible way, but you don't really know until, you know, Mitch is taking the first snaps and Nick Foles is taking the next 100 after that.
Cam, I'm going to stick with you because I want to ask you a question about the talk that you had with Allen Robinson.
Okay.
We've all been expecting the extension. And with the actual reporting on Nick Foles' deal, it looks like it wasn't prohibitive to the cap. So that's good. It's not like the Bears have a ton of space left. They have some. Getting a deal done with Allen Robinson would free up some more. You talk with him. Where's his head at as far as you're concerned?
I think there's still a lot of confidence it's going to get done. I don't know how much of a emphasis there is on it just right now between, you know, figuring out how to plug in your computer for the NFL draft and then, you know, the whole pandemic happening right now and all those other things. So I don't know how much of a contract extension takes priority over some of these things, but it's such a no-brainer from both sides. I see it happening. I just don't think Bears fans should hold their breath, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think Cam's right that there's not a rush for it to happen right now. You know, like Cam said, they got to worry about the NFL draft. They got to worry about their precious Zoom chats actually working during the NFL draft and them figuring out which seventh round pick they're going to make, rather than getting a deal done that I think we do all presume is going to happen. I mean, look, Allen Robinson's going to get paid and he's going to earn it. I mean, we might be talking 5 years, close to $100 million for him, which he would have earned. And that would be a fair contract for Allen Robinson. But the Bears, I mean, look, they've gotten a lot of these deals done toward the start of the season when they've extended guys. You know, they extended Charles Leno in the middle of camp in 2017, then Akeem Hicks a couple weeks later. 2018 was Eddie Goldman right before the season, then 2019 was Cody Whitehair. So they have a tendency to get to do these things in August or September, not in March or April. So, you know, the cap consideration is one thing, but I also think the Bears are probably done spending really big in free agency, so they may not need to free up that cap room. Also, they probably have, $8-9 million in cap right now, according to our friend Brad at Over the Cap. So they, I think Cam's right that there's not really an immediacy thing here, and that's really about that.
All right. Well, we don't have to worry about that. I want to ask you guys about some of the other positions that the Bears went and worked on, specifically offensive line. Look, they have a lot of money tied up in the middle of that line and on the ends of that line. So there's not like there's a ton of opportunity money-wise for them to make changes. That being said, they've brought in some free agents. Have they done enough? Or is this another one of those positions that the Bears are going to be looking hard at offensive line come draft time?
I think both. Like I think that I think they sort of go hand in hand, I should say, not both. Because I think they haven't done enough, but sort of like we talked about earlier, there's not a whole lot of money left, and maybe you find a way to figure that out. But with all the different spending that Ryan Pace has done this offseason, without much of it being on the line, that has to mean they either just really, really like Alec Bars, or there's some sort of draft strategy behind this. I can't see a world where they just don't address it at all and walk in with, you know, a couple backups fighting for a swing tackle or a starting guard role.
The worry I have is that this is tight end all over again. Mm-hmm. Like last year around this time, we were like, huh, they didn't sign a tight end in free agency. All right, I guess they're probably going to go that direction in the draft. And then they didn't. And then we spent training camp talking about if Ian Bunting was going to make the roster. So that is my worry, that the Bears are looking at right guard and saying, yeah, we're probably fine with Rashad Coward and Alex Bars and Jermaine Ifedi battling it out. And maybe we don't need to spend a draft pick there. I think they have to spend a second round pick there. I don't see how you can go into this year saying we've done everything we've needed to do to fix the offense and then leave a hole at right guard. I like the Jermaine Ifedi contract on the veteran minimum.
Me too.
He's making nothing. And as a former first-round pick, throw him as little as possible and see if he still has something in there. I like that idea a lot. I like the idea of competing against Rashad Coward, a guy who's got a ton of athleticism, who the Bears did like some of the things he did at right guard last year, but I don't like the idea of that position potentially being a hole. Because, like Lawrence, you said, there's nowhere else to upgrade on this offensive line. And the O-line was a disappointment last year, especially in the run game. So you've got to find a way to upgrade it, and it's got to be at right guard. And if you don't do anything about it, except bet on Rashad Coward, Alex Bars, and Jermaine Ifedi, you could be left in the middle of October next year thinking, God, we really should have done something about that. And now we're playing the O-line equivalent of Jesper Horsted. Jesper Horsted. God, that sounded like I was just really bus tossing Jesper Horsted.
I mean, Jesper.
But if you're,
he's never going to listen to this podcast again.
If you're having to start Jesper, the O-line version of Jesper Horsted at right guard in the middle of a playoff race, I'm not quite sure that's going to work out very well. Apologies to Jesper Horsted. I know you listen to this podcast. By the way, one other note on the O-line. My computer corrects Ifedi to iced. I don't know how that happened. I don't think my computer is playing a prank on me and begging me to chug a Smirnoff Ice every time that happens.
JJ went to college.
I sure did. Got a degree in everything, Cam.
The whole thing.
Every single part of it.
Is there any reason why the Bears should c- consider drafting a quarterback?
Because sometimes it works out. Like, yes, there's always, I think there's always, like, I think it sounds simplistic, but there is, that's the reason you need to draft a quarterback, because once in a while you hit and you have a franchise quarterback. Are you glad Steven Denmark's on your roster? Like, I guess now I'm shouting at other people on this roster. Like, are you glad that the Under Center podcast is just getting railing people right now?
For railing the 55th members of the band.
I don't know why we're being so mean to these guys. But like, is that better than having a quarterback prospect on your roster? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so.
It's not. I think the Bears should draft a quarterback in the 6th or 7th round. Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times and the House Intrigue podcast and I had a disagreement about this on Monday's podcast, which if you haven't listened to, stick around for Mark Potash calling into the show. It's great.
It's so great.
It's so great. But I think the Bears should not use one of their second-round picks on a quarterback. I just don't see how you can draft someone who's not going to play in 2020 when you've made all these moves to try to maximize what 2020 will be. So do what Cam said. Take a 6th or 7th round flyer on a guy. Maybe he turns out. It's probably better than having Steven Denmark or Jordan Morgan. Jordan Morgan was a 5th round pick. Or Kylie Fitz.
I mean, you don't have to keep just like bus tossing guys, JJ. Like you don't have to keep doing it.
How about Daniel Braverman?
JJ's, remember that guy series just got way more dark.
But sometimes you find Charles Leno in the 7th round.
See?
Realize some people listening to this podcast are going to be like, well, that's terrible.
No, not for a 7th round pick. It's not. It's great.
Charles Leno is not as bad as people think. Anyways.
No, I mean, forget about whether you think he's bad or not. For him to be starting as a 7th round pick, your scouting department did something right.
Phil Emery's scouting department did something right.
That's true. My guy, by the way, for late in the draft, Steven Montez, the quarterback from Colorado. That's my pick to click. If the Bears are going to go late on a QB, that would be my guy to choose. Well, gentlemen, as per usual, this was a lot of fun, and we made a lot of enemies today, so that's good.
We'll give out JJ's personal address later in the show.
God, okay, well, let's recap. Ian Bunting, Jesper Horsted,
Steven Denmark.
Steven Denmark. I decided to throw Daniel Braverman under the bus.
Yeah, for no reason.
You know,
you threw someone, who do you say, Emmanuel Hall earlier in the podcast?
A couple of crackbacks against Emmanuel Hall.
I is a fellow Mizzou guy, but you know.
Oh, sorry, also, every GM in the National Football League, there's that.
This was just the NAB Under Center podcast.
You know, Festivus is only 8.5 months away, so.
Is it? We don't know what day it is. None of us know what day it is.
I actually think it's 8.5 months away. Today is, hold on one second as I'm going to pull up my phone to check. It's April 8th as we're recording this podcast, so 8.5 months away. It feels like it might be 1.5 away. I don't know.
All right. With that, I'm going to end the podcast.
Thank you.
Before we all get an enemies list that's longer than you wouldn't believe. Thank you so much for listening to the Under Center podcast. You can check out Cam and JJ's work at NBCSportsChicago.com. Please do us a favor and subscribe. Tell a friend. Give us 5 stars. Write a review. All that good stuff. And don't tell the people that we were mean to. That we were mean to them on this episode of the podcast. Please don't tag them. And don't tag Allen Robinson, even though we only said nice things about him, because he has been known to go after media members in Chicago. So whatever you do, don't tell A-Rob. Thanks for listening.